time for Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Maneuvered to get the lodge hall for headquarters for his conservative liberal political party. Inasmuch as the lodge hall is the only place in town large enough for a public gathering, the new boomers were left with no place in which to hold a political rally. However, Boss Edwards came up with the idea of broadcasting over the party telephone line, and consequently, he's been working hard preparing their opening broadcast scheduled for this evening. Well, we'll soon see what happens next. No doubt many times you've heard people say, I've had a terrible day today. My head aches and I just don't think I want anything to eat tonight. Well, that's not good, especially when it happens on a day when your wife has gone to a lot of work preparing the things you like best. And that's why we say, get a glass of sparkling, refreshing Alka-Seltzer. Yes, instead of complaining about a headache and waiting for it to wear off, use Alka-Seltzer. You see, the pain-relieving analgesic in Alka-Seltzer is fast-acting because it's dissolved way before you drink it. It's ready to go right to work on your headache. And because the analgesic is guarded by valuable alkaline buffers, it loses little or no effectiveness. So take Alka-Seltzer for that occasional headache and let it help you feel better fast. Remember, it's Alka-Seltzer you want. Ask your druggist for a large 60-cent package today. And when your tablets get down to four, that's the time to buy some more. And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find that it is even. Boss Lund, Candidate Abner, and citizens Ulysses S. Quincy and Milford Spears are gathered in the Jot-and-Down store getting set for their big broadcast.
All right, we go in here in just a few minutes, man.
Is this the radio, love?
Well, we're going to use the telephone. See, we just call up the fire alarm ring, and everybody picks up the receiver to see where the fire's at, and then we start broadcasting over the telephone.
Okay.
Is everybody all set?
Yeah, I reckon so.
How about you, Ulysses?
Okay.
I hope you don't mind me dragging you over here for this broadcast.
That's okay, love.
I'll put you on first, Ulysses, so you can get home early.
Okay.
Now, when I introduce you, you just stand right up there to the telephone and read your speech about Abner.
Okay.
Talking in a good, loud voice like you mean what you're saying.
Okay.
You've got your speech wrote out, ain't you?
Yeah, it's okay, Lum.
Good. You're all set, ain't you, Granddad?
Oh, yeah, sure, you are.
Still think I ought to be running for mayor instead of Abner, though.
Just forget that for now. And recollect, don't try to talk too long. We want the folks out there to still be listening by the time we get to Abner.
Yeah, maybe I ought to be on first, Lum.
No, we want to build up to you, Abner. I got this thing all planned out now. Don't try to make no changes.
All right.
Wait a minute, what about Giuseppe?
Well, I don't know. I ain't saw him this evening. Was he going to be in on this politics broadcast, too?
Oh, yeah, sure. I wrote down a little speech for him. See, the idea was that he was going to speak for the young man. Ulysses is going to speak for the farmers and businessmen, and Grandpap for the veterans. That way, we'll be appealing to every voter in town.
You want me to go out and look for Cedric?
No, he ain't got time now. In all them announcements I made over the party line today, I told the folks to listen in at 8 o'clock sharp. It's might not. Granny, if it is 8 o'clock right now.
It is.
Come on, we got to get on the air right this minute.
Well, what about Cedric?
Well, we can't wait for him. Come on, fellas. We'll show that Squire Skimp that he might be able to keep us from having a rally in the lodge hall, but he can't keep us from reaching the public.
No, sir.
Don't be nervous now.
No.
Here we go.
Yep.
Here's the fire alarm ring.
Stand right over here, you lefty.
Yeah, okay, Abner.
Yeah, that ought to get him to the phone. I can hear him picking up the receivers all up and down the line. Hello, everybody. There ain't no fire. This is just the big politics broadcast you've been waiting for all day long. You've heard the announcement about it. Now, here it is. The new broom party. The party that's going to make a clean sweep. Presents... All right, Abner, go ahead.
Peabody for mayor. No graft, no payoff, there's romance. Abner is a honest gent. Peabody for mayor. You must catch your vote for Peabody.
Thank you, Mr. Peabody. you've just heard the golden altoid voice of your future mayor.
Thank you!
Before presenting this great leader of men, we want to bring you several of Pine Ridge's leading citizens who have come here of their own volition tonight to speak out in favor of...
Anybody for mayor?
Not now. That don't come till we sign off.
Oh, well,
to speak out tonight in favor of this great man, this lecture giant, our beloved candidate for mayor, Abner Peabody.
Hooray!
And the first citizen to speak out is a man you all know.
Hooray!
Your friend and my friend. Fact is, everybody's friend.
Hooray!
That popular farmer and businessman, Mr. Ulysses S. Quincy.
Hooray!
All right, Ulysses, step right up and talk into the telephone.
Yeah, okay.
Well, go ahead. Can't you read what you've got wrote there? Ain't there enough light?
No, it's okay, Mom.
Well, hurry up.
Yeah, okay. Fellow citizens, I have came here tonight to talk to you, to tell you about your friend and my friend, Abner Peabody. He's okay.
Well, he's gone.
I'm done, Mom.
Done. Well, sit down then.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Quincy. Now, there you have the stamp of approval from one of our leading farmers and businessmen.
Good evening.
And now, folks, the next citizen to speak out for our candidate is a man well-known and loved in the community. A man who has a special word for all of you ex-servicemen. A man who is a veteran himself. Milford Avery Spears.
Get up, Frank.
I know what to do.
Yeah, howdy, folks. This is Corporal Milford Avery Spears of the 23rd Regiment, Spanish-American War. Now, you folks have all heard of Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders. There was the pigeon-toedest rough ridingest outfit that ever put powder in a musket. I recollect the day the Rough Riders marched off the sail to Manila. Our regiment stood there waving to them. Oh, we was proud. Standing next to me was a feller named Aubrey Fairbowl. Aubrey was just a private, but there was the nicest fellers you'd ever want to meet. Had a sister named Hortense. She was double-jointed. She could take her thumbs and bend them right nigh back to her elbow.
Grandpap, tell them about me.
Are you double-jointed?
No, I'm running for mayor.
Well, it'd be an obvious having a double-jointed mayor. Let's see, where was I at?
You was talking about some feller and his sister, Hortense, but you're...
Oh, yeah, sure. Hortense Fairbolt was one of the nicest girls you'd ever want to meet. Married a man named Harry Newhall. More likely you folks wonder why I'm telling you about Harry Newhall tonight. Let's see, why am I telling about him?
Granddad, get to the part of your speech about Abner being a candidate.
Yeah, hurry up.
I'm coming too, Dad.
All right.
Harry Newhall was one of the finest fellows you'd ever want to meet.
You said that.
He run for United States Congressman in 1901. He was defeated by a landslide, but it never turned Harry's head. He went right on being the same feller he always was. Bought one of the first automobiles in his town. Scared a horse to death with it one day. And Harry never stepped inside of an automobile from that day on. Died in 1923, August.
Grandpa, for goodness sake, get to your political speech.
Political speech?
You're supposed to tell the folks who to vote for mayor.
All right. Folks, there's an election coming up in this town, and there's one veteran to another, and I want to say this to all you servicemen. When the polls open, go there and vote. I thank you.
Well, wait a minute, Grandpa. You never told them who to vote for.
Why, of course not. They can vote for whoever they want to.
Well, sure, but...
This is a free country, ain't it? A democracy. That's what they fit the war for.
I know that, Grandpa.
For goodness sake, get him away from the telephone.
Yeah, come on, get away from here.
Liberty and justice for all. Turn me loose here. Get your hands off of me.
Come on, Grandpa. Just be quiet. Man.
Thank you, Corporal Spears. There you see our great candidate has the backing of the great war heroes of our great country. And now, before we present our candidate himself, I want to remind all you folks to be sure to do your part in the annual March of Dimes. The money you contribute goes to the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. So get busy and send your dimes to this address. Tom Brenneman, Oriental Theater, Chicago, Illinois. Do it right away, folks. And now, citizens, here's a man who is destined to lead Pine Ridge to prosperity, happiness, and municipal progress.
Hooray!
Oh, Cedric, be quiet. We're on air.
Well, I want to tell you something.
Cedric, hush up.
Yeah, be quiet.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the man who deserves your vote, whose record and reputation demands your vote,
whose character is reproachable.
That's me.
A man who will carry the banner of the New Broom Party into battle. The leading candidate for mayor of Pine Ridge, Mr. Abner Peabody.
Hooray!
All right, Abner. Well, nobody can see you or tell us.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Boss Edwards.
You're welcome, Mr. Peabody.
Thank you.
Mr. Peabody, the voters of Pine Ridge are anxious to know about your political record and your platform and what you stand for.
Thank you.
So I'll ask you some questions, Mr. Peabody.
Yes, sir. I have held office for 30...
Well, wait till I ask you the question. Mr. Peabody, have you ever held public office before?
Yes, sir. I have held office for 30 years. 20 years as notary public and 5 months as deputy town marshal.
Hey, Mr. Abner, can
I'm a broadcast in here.
Mr. Peabody, if you are elected, what are some of the things you aim on putting into effect in the government of our city?
Graft, crooked deal.
Oh, no, that's the answer to the next question.
If I'm mayor, I am on putting into effect the following.
Hey, listen, fellas, you're going to miss out on the ice cream.
What ice cream?
It's all free. Cake and cookies, too. Peaches and everything. Come on, let's go.
Well, we can't go now. I told you we're broadcasting here. Now, keep quiet.
Well, no, you're broadcasting. Ain't nobody sitting at home listening to you. They're all over at the lodge hall at Mr. Squire's big party.
Mr. Squire?
Well, come on, fellas. Let's get over there. Everything's free.
Now evident that Boss Squire Skint is willing to go to any length and expense to defeat all political plans of Lum's New Broom Party. So join us again in our next regular visit down in Pine Ridge. Friends, we all know that the opposite of black is white, and the opposite of acid is alkaline. That's why it makes good sense to neutralize excess acid in the stomach by alkalizing. Yes, the thing to do is to alkalize with Alka-Seltzer when something you've eaten causes acid indigestion. You see, Alka-Seltzer can give the kind of prompt relief that's hard to beat. It helps settle an upset, jittery stomach. It helps sweeten an acid stomach. It helps neutralize excess gastric acidity. And its analgesic helps relieve the headache that often goes with an upset stomach. Now, that's why we say there's nothing quite like it. Now, you can get its fast relief in any drugstore. Remember, it's Alka-Seltzer you want. So ask your druggist for a large 60-cent package today. And then, for occasional acid indigestion, be wise, alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. And when your tablets get down to 4, that's the time to buy some more.